To begin talking today. Today we're going to try to squeeze in both Psukei de Zimra and Shema. We're going to try to cover Psukei de Zimra and Shema today, obviously not exhaustively, but we're going to try to at least introduce them, give you a little bit of a taste, and then always room for more research and more thought on your part and our part, so we'll start that way. We discussed Psukei de Zimra. The reason why I want to talk about Psukei de Zimra, and I know that Psukei de Zimra is not necessarily the most popular part of davening for women, so to speak. I know not all women say Psukei de Zimra. When we discuss the more halachic aspects of tefillah, we pointed out that although the Mishneh Berura does say that all women are obligated to recite Psukei de Zimra, but we also say there are other opinions. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav holds not that way, and the women are exempt from Psukei de Zimra. So some women, some women say it, some women don't say it. But it is important, and since the Mishneh Berurah does say women should say it, so at least, if you have time, it's certainly a good thing to do. So we're going to talk about the three main parts of Psukei de Zimra, namely Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, and Yishtabach. So we'll talk a little bit about those three main parts of Shmoneh Esrei, of Psukei de Zimra, and then we'll take it from there. Psukei de Zimra, the point of Psukei de Zimra, right? Literally, what the words mean is that it's songs, it's verses of praise, right? We're reciting psukim. Most of Psukei de Zimra is a collection of psukim that we find in Tanakh, right? We find obviously the Hallelujahs are the main part of Psukei de Zimra following Ashrei, and then before that we have introductory psukim, and then following the Hallelujahs we have some more introductory psukim. But it's mostly psukim from Tanakh. That's mostly what Psukei de Zimra is. And it's all about praising Hashem. What's the point of Psukei de Zimra? What's the point of it? So it's very interesting. Psukei de Zimra is really an introduction. It's an introduction to davening. It's an introduction to tefillah. In fact, the reason why the Mishneh Berurah says that women are obligated to recite Psukei de Zimra is because he says women are obligated to recite Shmoneh Esrei. Right? As we discussed, women should recite Shmoneh Esrei. So he says if women should recite Shmoneh Esrei, then they should also recite Psukei de Zimra, because after all, Psukei de Zimra is really the introduction to Shmoneh Esrei. And I think it's such an important point, because in general, tefillah requires preparation. Everything in life requires preparation, but tefillah specifically requires preparation. Chazal tells us that the Hasidim HaRishonim, right? The original pious people, before they daven, they used to sit there for an hour. They used to sit there just preparing themselves to daven. It requires preparation. The more we rush into davening, and unfortunately in today's busy day and age, very often we are rushing into davening. But the more we rush into davening, it's hard to focus. It's hard to concentrate, right? So it's important to try to take a breath before davening and think about what we're about to do. And that's really, it's built in. Chazal really built that in into Psukei de Zimra, that's really what it is. It's an introduction and a preparation to get us ready, to get us in the proper mindset for what we're about to say and what we're about to do throughout the course of the rest of the tefillah. That's really what Psukei de Zimra is all about. So let's start with Baruch Sha'amar. And as we mentioned, if you have time, you should certainly try to say Psukei de Zimra, at least the main parts of Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, and Yishtabach. If you have more time, the Hallelujahs, all five of them are very, very important, specifically number 3 and number 5, but all five of them are certainly important. And then as you have more time, you can add more things in. Baruch Sha'amar is a very interesting tefillah. There's an ancient tradition that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly, created this tefillah based on a script that fell from heaven. The words are really divine. They're really divine words. They came from heaven. They came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a tradition that we have. And because of that tradition, we give great importance to Baruch Sha'amar. I just want to point out also that Baruch Sha'amar is really a bracha, right? Baruch Sha'amar, it's a bracha. It's a bracha that we recite at the beginning of Psukei de Zimra. And if you think about it, it really bookends Psukei de Zimra, because Baruch Sha'amar is the beginning of Psukei de Zimra. And how do we end Psukei de Zimra? Yishtabach, which is also a bracha, right? They both end with a bracha. So because of that, those two brachos of Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach are really the bookends of Psukei de Zimra. Baruch Sha'amar has 87 words, if you count, 87 words, which alludes to the word paz, pei zayin, which means gold. Refers to the pasuk of rosho kesem paz, that the opening words, rosho, literally the head or the beginning, but the opening words of Psukei de Zimra are kesem paz, or pure gold, the finest gold. So it shows the importance of Baruch Sha'amar and what we're saying in Baruch Sha'amar. We know that many have the custom to stand during Baruch Sha'amar because of its lofty nature. And some also say that men, when they say Baruch Sha'amar, they should kiss their tzitzis afterwards. They hold their tzitzis, the front two tzitzis at least, and then they kiss them afterwards, also to show the importance and the beauty of this special tefillah. If you look through Baruch Sha'amar, it can really be broken down into seven aspects. That the body of Baruch Sha'amar really, really mentions or talks about seven aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I apologize if I'm going a little bit quickly, but I want to try to cover the main points today of Pesukah Dezimra and Shema. If you want to follow along in your Siddurim, you're more than welcome to. The first is Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Ha'olam. We say, blessed is Hashem who spoke and created the world. The world just came into being. Baruch Hu, Baruch Oseh Bereishis. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're blessing Kadosh Baruch Hu that He created the world. Now it talks about Kadosh Baruch Hu that He created the world through His speech, right? So obviously this is something significant, that speech is something very, very significant. We know that speech is what distinguishes us from the animals, as Unkelutz translates Ruach Memalala, that speech is one of the things that distinguishes us. We have an intellect, but the speech is the way that we communicate our intellect, we communicate our feelings and our emotions out into the world to other people, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world through speech. But we say also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't only create the world, but He also maintains the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, and one of those translations of Baruch Oseh Bereishis is also that he continuously makes the creation. He continuously creates. It wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't a one-time shot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and then Chas V'Shalom pulled back. Right? As we know, some philosophers believe that. They believed in God, they believed that God created the world, but then they believed that God took a step back and pulled Himself away from the world. And Chas V'Shalom, we don't believe that way. We believe very clearly, the Rambam says very clearly in his opposition to those philosophers, that we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only created the world, but maintains the world on a regular basis. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Rambam describes, it's almost like a light that's plugged into the wall. If you pull out the plug, the light shuts off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the energy source of the world, constant energy source being pumped into the world. If Chas V'Shalom, if a person, as the Rambam says, if a person can imagine, you know, Chas V'Shalom, an existence without God, everything else would just fall apart. Everything is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and He maintains the world as well. Then we say, number two, we say the second aspect, Baruch Omer Ve'oseh, Baruch Gozer U'Mekayem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and He says and He does, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also decrees and fulfills that which He decrees. So here we're talking about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises reward and punishment. Now we know the concepts of Schar V'Onesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a system of reward and punishment. And while we don't necessarily, we're not supposed to just do mitzvos and follow the Torah just to get a reward, right? And we don't abstain from Averos just to avoid punishment. That's not the ideal reason for doing or not doing things. But at the same time, we know that it exists. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us these things. If we follow the mitzvahs, if we follow what we're supposed to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward us. Not necessarily in this world, perhaps in the next world where it really counts. And if we don't follow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do Chas V'Shalom the opposite. Baruch Merachem al Ha'aretz, Baruch Merachem al Abrios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on the land, and blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He has mercy on His creations. It's very interesting. You know, mercy really plays a very important role in the creation. Chazal tell us that if you look at Prakim Aleph and Beis, the first two chapters of the Torah, so the beginning, the Torah describes creation and uses the name for Hashem of Elohim. Bereishis bara Elohim. In Perek Beis, it uses the name Hashem Elohim. Right? Yudkei Vavkei, and then Elohim. And Chazal are bothered by this discrepancy. Unfortunately, Bible critics took it to a terrible extreme, saying that, you know, two different people made up the Torah, Chas V'Shalom. So we don't believe that. But Chazal were bothered. Why is it? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wrote the Torah, why is it that He first used the name Elohim and then changed to Hashem Elohim? And Rashi, one of the answers that Rashi gives is that in an ideal way, in an ideal sense, God wanted to really run the world with justice, strict justice. You do something wrong, you get punished. That's it. But we all know that we're human beings. And any world, if the world had run just with pure justice on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we wouldn't be able to exist. We need rachamim, right? We think about ourselves as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, as, you know, involved with other people. We need rachamim. We need a sense of mercy. People can't, you know, we as human beings can't exist in just a purely society based purely on justice and what's right and wrong. We need a little bit of leeway. We need a little bit of mercy. So that's why ideally, Vayibereshis bara Elokim, ideally Hashem wanted to create the world with pure judgment, pure justice. But then Hashem Elokim, Hashem realized that he had to have the Midas HaRachamim. He had to include this trait of mercy as well. And it's interesting, we say here in Baruch Shammah that Hashem not only has mercy on the Aretz, not only on people, but on the Aretz and on the Brios, everything. We have mercy on everything. We believe as Jews in the concept of Tzar Ba'alei Chaim, we believe a person shouldn't cause undue harm for no reason or undue pain to animals. It's not something that we believe in. We believe everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, we shouldn't just destroy it. We have a concept of Baal Tashchis. We don't just destroy the world. We don't just destroy things for no reason. Even when it comes to Rachmanu Litzlan Hilchos Avelus, and we know that a person has to tear Kriya, there are very specific halachos of how you tear Kriya, when you tear Kriya, what you tear Kriya on. Why? Because Chazal were sensitive. You shouldn't be tearing your clothing for no reason. Right? We're very sensitive to the world and to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. We don't believe in just wanton destruction. Baruch, that's Merachim al Aretz, Merachim al Abrios. We then say, Baruch Mishalim Sachar Tov Li Reyav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back a good reward, a very, very good reward to those who Yireyav. Who are Yireyav? So I always like to translate it because the Mefarshim comment that there's really two types of Yira. Yira can be translated as fear, and Yira can also be translated as awe. We're supposed to have elements of both, because we're supposed to be afraid of the punishment. We're supposed to be a little bit afraid of what's going to happen to us if we do things wrong. But that's not the ideal way of serving Hashem, with fear. As we all know, people who walk around with fear, if a person is afraid, right, we know in the past, in Jewish history, we as a Jewish community have sometimes been in places where we've been afraid of the government or afraid of the authorities. And what happens when you're afraid? What happens when you live in fear? It's crippling. A person can't function when they live in fear. Fear is a crippling emotion. So because of that, it can't be what Chazal don't mean that we should all walk around being afraid of God or being afraid of the punishments or the lightning bolts that are going to come out if we do something wrong. Because that's not a healthy way to live. That's not a healthy way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is a certain element of fear that we should be a little bit afraid of what's going to happen, but more importantly, awe. When we're in awe of somebody, or when we're in awe of something, so then we know how to act in front of that person. If we greet a dignitary, we greet somebody who's a great person, or a big Talmid Chacham, a Gadol Hador, and we're in awe of them, and we're in awe of their presence, we act differently. We behave differently. We speak differently. Because we're in awe of the person before whom we stand. So that's the same, that's the relationship we're supposed to have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Yireyav. We say, Baruch Chai La'ad V'Kayam La'Netzach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists infinitely. Right? We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pre-existed the world. Predated is not really an accurate term because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not subject to time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always there. He's Hayah Hovev Yihyeh. He always was there, is here now, and always will be here. Infinite existence. Baruch Podeu Matzil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems and rescues, as we discussed a little bit 2 weeks ago when we talked about the Birchos HaShachar, that we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescues us, He saves us, not only physically, obviously that's included as well, whether it's physical, whether it's health issues, whether it's some sort of other issue that we find ourselves caught up in, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu also saves us and rescues us morally and spiritually and sometimes emotionally. Sometimes when we're stuck in a place that we can't get out of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks us up and He brings us out. That's Baruch Podeu Matzil. Baruch Shemo, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. It's very interesting, if you think about a name, the Chazal tell us that a name reflects the essence of a person. Right? That's why there are many, many, there's a lot of literature about choosing a name for a child. Right? By the way, it's Aaron Yeshaya. Choosing a name for a child is a lot of literature. Why? Because a name really reflects who that child is going to become. Chazal tell us that there's a certain amount of Ruach HaKodesh. There's a certain amount of divine assistance that parents have when selecting a name for their child. Because when they select that name, it really is, it's not just a random arbitrary name. But it's a name that really, pertains and connects to that child's neshama and to who that child will become one day. So when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't really understand the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't really understand what He's all about. We can try to understand as much as possible, but we're limited. We're finite beings. We live in this world. We're finite people. So Shemo, through the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his attributes, because the names always represent the attributes of Hashem. Like we said, Elokeinu represents the attribute of judgment. When we talk about Yudke Vavke Hashem, that represents the attribute of mercy. So when we understand Hashem through his names, meaning through his attributes, we can get to know him a little bit better. We can understand a little bit more about what he is and how he runs the world. That's Baruch Shemo. And then we end off, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Hakel Ha'av HaRachamon. Right, that we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an Av HaRachamon. He's a merciful father. And I think it's such a beautiful, you know, such beautiful imagery. We're about to embark on the period of the Yamim Noraim. And very often through the Yamim Noraim, we say Avinu Malkeinu. We talk about this duality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, of course, he's our king, we're his subjects, but he's also our father. He's our loving father. Sometimes a father has to punish. As we all know, sometimes a parent has to punish. Sometimes a parent has to be strict and has to enforce rules and guidelines and regulations because that's what they know is good for the child. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes has to punish us. And just as a child doesn't always understand why their parents are doing what they're doing, or sometimes children never understand why their parents are doing what they're doing, so too, we very often don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing what he's doing. But we believe firmly that he's the Av HaRachamon. He's the merciful father. And sometimes it might hurt, and sometimes it might be painful, but we trust that he has our best interests in mind. We say, Hamahulal Befe Amo, some say Befi Amo. There's a little bit of a discrepancy here. Some say Befi Amo, some say Befe Amo. It probably depends on your minhag, or probably more accurately on the sitter that you're using. But Befe, actually, interestingly enough, the gematria of Befe is 87. So we said Baruch Shamar has 87 words, so that's why some, especially you know the Mekubalim, the Kabbalists, believe that the correct terminology should be Befe Amo, because it corresponds to that 87. But some say Befi Amo. Either way is fine. Whatever you say is certainly fine. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praised by his nation. Mishubach u'mufuar bilshon chasidav va'avadav. That Hashem is praised and glorified in the language of his pious ones and his servants. Uvishirei David avdecha. And with the songs of David HaMelech. And we know the strong role and the powerful role that the words of David HaMelech, the words of Tehillim, play in davening. Right, so much of davening is comprised of psukim from Tehillim, full chapters of Tehillim, psukim from Tehillim, and David HaMelech was the Ne'im Zemiros Yisrael. He was the songwriter. He was the great songwriter of the Jewish people who was able to communicate all that the Jewish people were thinking and feeling into those holy words. So we believe also, you know, sometimes when we try to convey ourselves, right, it's hard to speak off the cuff. Right, whenever we have Baruch Hashem, we have a simcha, so we like to put things down on paper. You know, very often we like to even read our speech off the paper. Why? Because we're nervous. It's hard to express ourselves off the cuff. It's hard to express ourselves if we don't have the words in front of us. You know, it's hard. You have to think at the same time and express what you're trying to, you know, what you're thinking and what you're feeling. It's very difficult. So because of that, we very often put things down on paper. That's why we rely so much on the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, on how they instituted tefillah, but also on David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech, one of the greatest songwriters of all time, the greatest author of Tfilos, so he was able to convey all that. So we rely on him. B'shirei David Avdecha, we rely on him. Because he was able to convey so much that we can say those words, of course, trying to concentrate on what he intended, but that's the way that we can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and communicate really what we're feeling. Nahalelcha Hashem Elokeinu b'shvachos uvizmiros. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with shvachos and zmiros. What's a shevach? Shevach is praise. What's zmiros? Song. So I saw a beautiful explanation here that praise is more intellectual. Right? Praise is something intellectual. Praise is something that we recognize the positive attributes of someone. We recognize the beauty and the greatness of a person. We praise that person. A song is emotional. Song is emotional. It comes from the heart. It's not something that comes from the mind. It comes from the heart. So we specifically say here that we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our intellect and with our heart, with our mind and our heart, right? Bishvachos uvizmiros. Because both things are important. It's important to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our mind, to think about His greatness, to think about all that He does for us in our lives, but it's also important to feel it. And so often, unfortunately, in life, we say the words, and sometimes even we think it. We have it in mind, but it doesn't always translate into the heart. Sometimes the heart is the odd man out, so to speak. But it's important, b'shvachos of izmiros, it's important to try to get that heart back in, to try to ignite the heart, and make sure that our praises are not just being sung by our minds, b'shvachos, but also b'zmiros, also with the songs of our heart. We conclude, negadelcha, neshabechacha, neforecha, v'nazkir shimcha, v'namlichacha, malkeinu, elokeinu, again, several synonyms, although in Hebrew language there aren't really synonyms, but without getting into the nuances and the subtleties of the differences, but you know, more or less synonyms for praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we coronate Hashem, we coronate Him as King. We're about to have Rosh Hashanah in a couple of weeks. I know that's a little bit of a scary thought, but it's coming. Right? So we coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our King, as our Melech. Yachir Chei HaOlamim, He's the one, He's the one and only. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only. He's a singular existence. He's the source. Chei HaOlamim means He's the source of all life on this world, as I said before. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that. He's the outlet that we're plugged into. Right? If Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't exist, we would all cease to exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chei HaOlamim. He's that source. Melech Meshubach Umfuar Adei Ad Shemo HaGadol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praised forever. Baruch Atah Hashem. Melech Mehulal Vatish Bachos. So that's the introduction. That's the introductory bracha, as you can see, discussing seven aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, many, many beautiful ideas. Let's continue with Ashrei. Ashrei is also a very, very important tefillah, as we mentioned, right? A person, if you have time to say any of Pesukei Dezimra, at least try to say Baruch Sha'amar Ashrei Nishtabach. Ashrei is almost like the meat and potatoes, right? The meat and potatoes, it's like the chalent of the meal. It's the main part. I'm sorry, you know, it's my framework as a man, but it's the main part. It's the main part of Pesukei Dezimra. So the Gemara in Shabbos says, Rabbi Yossi says, may my share be with those who complete Hallel every day. I want to complete Hallel every day. It's a very strange statement. What does that mean to complete Hallel every day? We say Hallel, you know, on certain days. We say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. We say Hallel on Yom Tov. What's Rabbi Yossi saying that, you know, may it be my share that I say, that I recite, I complete Hallel every day? So the Gemara says that what Rabbi Yossi means, he's not referring to what we call Hallel. He's referring to Ashrei. He's referring to Ashrei. Ashrei is also a form of a Hallel. It's not exactly the Hallel that we say, but it's a form of a Hallel because also we go through and we recite all of these tremendous praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Brachos says that Ashrei is so important that anyone who recites Ashrei three times a day, it's an automatic ticket into Olam Haba. Automatic ticket into Olam Haba. It's a good thing, right? So that's why we know that we say Ashrei three times a day. We say it twice in Shacharis, once in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, and then once again towards the end, even though I know many women don't say it, but at the end, after Shemona Esrei, we say Ashrei again, and then we say Ashrei right before Mincha. So you see the importance, as the Gemara places, the importance on Ashrei. It's very interesting that we call the tefillah Ashrei, but the interesting thing is that most of the tefillah comes from chapter Kuf Mem He in Tehillim, right? Chapter Kuf Mem He in Tehillim. The first two psukim, which both begin with Ashrei, Ashrei Yoshve Ve'esecha and Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, are both not part of that chapter. So it's interesting, we call the whole thing Ashrei, but really it's Tehillah L'David. Tehillah L'David is the beginning of chapter Kuf Lamed Hey. That's really where the prayer starts. The two psukim that we begin with, Ashrei Yoshve Ve'esecha and Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, are really just introductory psukim to this tefillah of Tehillah L'David. They come from elsewhere. The one immediately preceding Tehillah L'David, Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, it comes from Tehillim Kuf Mem Dal. That's the last pasuk of the previous chapter in Tehillim. And then the one, Ashrei Yoshve Ve'esecha, comes from a totally different chapter in Tehillim Pei Dalet. So it's just interesting to get that sense. But really, we're beginning all of these praises. You know, on the one hand, we want to begin with Aleph. Right? We want to begin with Aleph, as we'll talk about in a second. But we're beginning all of these praises with Ashrei Yoshve Ve'esecha. Right? Praiseworthy of the ones are the ones who sit in your house. What's Yoshve Ve'esecha? So Yoshve Ve'esecha could be understood. Well, what's the bias of Hashem? The Beis HaMikdash, certainly. Right, I heard the Beis HaMikdash. So certainly the Beis HaMikdash in an ideal sense. Meher of Yamenu, right? That's the bias of Hashem. What else could be the bias of Hashem? The Shul, right? Beautiful. The Shul could be the bias of Hashem. So we say praiseworthy are those who sit in the Shul, who sit in the Beis HaMikdash, sit in the Shul, who spend time in a spiritual setting, spend time in a place where they can orient themselves spiritually. But I think, I would like to suggest that bias, Beisecha, the bias of Hashem could also be the house of each and every one of us. Right? When we run our homes the proper way, when we run our homes with the proper values and the proper ideals and a focus and a dedication to Torah and mitzvos, and a relationship with Hashem, then our house becomes the Beis Echa. Our house becomes the Bais of Hashem. Right? The Pasuk tells us, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you make for me a Beis HaMikdash. I need a place in the world. I need a place called the Beis HaMikdash. But then v'shachanti b'socham. But then I'm going to come into each and every one of you. I don't just sit in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash might be the holiest place, but I'm inside each and every one of you. I'm inside each and every one of your homes. So I think Ashrei Yoshevei Ve'Secha, when we think about that, really could be, of course, it refers to the Beis HaMikdash and to shuls, but certainly could also refer to our own homes, right? Making sure our homes are run in the proper way. Then we say, Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Alav Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Elokav. Right? Blessed is the nation that has this share. And I think that this is such an important point, because when we talk about, you know, we talked a little bit when we talked about Birchos HaTorah, we talked about the concept of being the Am HaNivchar, being the chosen people. We have to recognize that we're a special people. And we're fortunate that we have that role. We're fortunate that we're the Am HaNivchar, that we're the Am Segula, that we're the chosen nation. And that's what we're saying when we say, Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, praiseworthy is the nation that has this type of ideal. I'll tell you, a very moving episode that happened to me. When I was in, very often after Yom Kippur, it's almost like, it's finally, we're exhausted, we've been standing all day, we haven't been eating or drinking, and all you want to do is like plop down on your couch. You know, you want to have something to eat, and then you just need to just rest and just let it go. When I was in Yeshiva, when I was in Ner Yisrael for my first year there, so after Yom Kippur, everybody, goes to the dining room and eats. And then all of a sudden, people started dancing. People started singing and dancing. And after, it was kind of like towards the end of the meal, and all of a sudden, all the boys in yeshiva were gathered around, dancing around the dining room. The next year, they did it in the hallway of the Beis Medrash, dancing around the Rosh Yeshiva. And I have to tell you, it was such a moving experience, dancing after Yom Kippur, singing and dancing after Yom Kippur. Why? Because Yom Kippur, is such a connection. It's probably the one day of the year when we feel the most connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're also tired and we're hungry and we're thirsty, but we certainly feel connected to Hashem. And after a day like that, a day of really self-sacrifice, not eating, not drinking, and all we're doing is davening and talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after a day like that, to sing and to dance, and specifically the song they sang was Ashrei Ha'am Shekachala. Thinking about how unbelievable it is that we're a Jewish people, that we have this opportunity to have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Yom Kippur was the highlight. But we try to translate it as much as we can into our daily life. But it was such a euphoric feeling that here, after such a day of connection, we can sing these words, Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Alo, praiseworthy is the nation that has the ability to form that deep connection with Hashem. We don't have time to go through all of the psukim of Ashrei as much as I would love to, but I want to focus on the one pasuk in the middle, which is considered the most important pasuk, of Ashrei. And that pasuk is Poseach es yadecha u'masbi'a l'chol chai ratzon. That's the most important pasuk in Ashrei. In fact, the poskim say that a person has to really concentrate for that pasuk. And if we say that pasuk without concentrating, which unfortunately so often we're running through, and we say the pasuk without concentrating, they actually say that you're supposed to stop, go back to the pasuk of Poseach es yadecha, and recite it again, thinking about what it means. Because it's such an important pasuk. So let's look at the pasuk of Poseach es yadecha. Poseach es yadecha, obviously we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens his hand, u'masbi'a l'chol chai ratzon. And he satisfies the desire of every living thing. And this is really, we spoke about this concept when we spoke about the Birchos HaShachar. But this is it. This is what it's about. This is what praising Hashem is about. Where the bottom line is recognizing all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. The fact that he opens his hand, He opens his hand and he gives us what we need. And again, of course, we all have things that we want, and we all have certain minor deficiencies in our lives that we're davening for, and things that we feel that we're lacking. But in the end of the day, when we look at our glass and we look, is it half full or half empty? I think that we all really recognize that Baruch Hashem, our glass is half full. Baruch Hashem, we have what we need. Are we missing a few things here and there that we're still davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Of course, 100%. Hashem wants us to daven to Him constantly. He's not going to give us everything. We're just going to sit back. We're going to chas v'shalom forget about Him. So sometimes He sends us reminders that I want to hear from you. But in essence, we're everything Baruch Hashem. We have what we need. Masbi'a l'chol chai ratzon. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. I think this pasuk also is so important because, as I mentioned in the past, it's vague. It doesn't identify any specific need or any specific desire. Because everybody in life, at different stages in life, have different things that they want. And this pasuk is really a catch-all. So you have a kid in high school who wants to do well on his algebra test, and he davens to Hashem, Posech es yadecha, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me do well on my algebra test. And then you have a person who's, you have a woman who's trying to get her kids off to school, and davening, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me, this is a crazy morning, help everything go smoothly. And then we have people at every different stage of life, davening for different things with different needs, with different desires, with different wants, and this is a catch-all pasuk. Hashem just opens up His hand and He gives us what we want. So it's certainly in a very, very important pasuk. We always try to have kavanah for in general, but specifically for that pasuk. It's also interesting to note that the last pasuk of Tehillah LeDavid, of what's really Ashrei, what's Tehillah LeDavid? Let me just finish this thought and then I'll take your question. Is really Tehillas Hashem Yedaber Pi, right? Which is the Tuf. It goes from Aleph to Tuf. By the way, I forgot to mention, why is it Aleph to Tuf? Right, why is it alphabetic? Why is it in alphabetical order? So, excuse me? So some say it's in alphabetical order because the message we're trying to convey is that we want to praise Hashem with every sound that comes out of our mouth. With every letter that we know, every sound that comes out of our mouth, we want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with those sounds. That's one idea that some suggest. A more practical idea, some say also that it's just easier to remember. It's easier to remember. Right? Because sometimes you get confused. Oh, where am I? Oh, I'm up to Ches. Chanun Hashem, Chanun V'rachum. I'm up to Ches. So you remember exactly what you're up to and what you're supposed to say. But those are just two interesting aspects. The pasuk that we end off Ashrei with is V'anachnu Nevarech Ka Me'atav Yad Olam Haluka. Right? That we bless Hashem from this time and forever. It's a pasuk from Tehillim Kuf Mem Vav. And the question is, why is it added on to the end of Ashrei? Right, so we understand we want to introduce Ashrei with the two psukim of Ashrei and Ashrei, but why do we end off with this pasuk Va'anachnu Nevarech Ka? So so some say the Levush, actually one of the great students of the Rama. So the Levush says that the reason why we end off with this pasuk, we conclude with this pasuk of Va'anachnu Nevarech Ka, because it ends with Halleluka, and what are the next five tefillos that we're going to say? The five Hallelukas. So we want to end off with a Halleluka to show that Ashrei is really just we're transitioning right into Halleluka. It's not a separate tefillah. It's part of the Hallelukas. It's all part of one total package of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some also say that since we talked about the fact that a person who says Ashrei properly three times automatically gets an automatic ticket into Olam Haba. So some say because of that we want to talk about the fact that we bless Hashem in both worlds. V'anachnu nevarech ka me'ata ve'ad olam, from now and forever, for eternity, which means in Olam Hazeh, in this world and in the next world as well. So it's almost a reference to Olam Haba, hinting to that idea that when we just said Ashrei, Baruch Hashem, we said it properly, that should be our ticket. The three times, that should be our ticket into Olam Haba. Yeah. Please. Ah. Beautiful. Beautiful. So Chai Ratzon. Sometimes what tefillah is about is recognizing what is it that we want and what is it that Hashem wants for us and coming to terms with that. Beautiful. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. I want to just move on to Yishtabach for a minute. So Yishtabach is the concluding bracha of Pesukei Dezimra. Also, if we're saying Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach, you should really say both of them. That's why it's important to say Baruch Shamar, Ashrei and Yishtabach, because Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach are really the bookends, right? If you notice, Yishtabach does not begin with the word Baruch. So one of the reasons why it doesn't is because it's considered a bracha hasmucha lechaverta, which means it's connected to Baruch Shamar. So even though we say many psukim in the middle, right, we have many tefillos in the middle, but it's really deeply connected to Baruch Shamar. It's really part. It's like I said. It's the bookends. It's the beginning and the ending bracha, and Ashrei is really that the substance that's in the middle. Yishtabach. If you look, there are 15 praises. It's a question exactly how to count them. But there are 15 praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the first half of Yishtabach, and then in the second half of Yishtabach there are 15 words. Interestingly enough, so 15 praises of Hashem. And then 15 words in the second half of Yishtabach. Some say it corresponds to the 15 Shir HaMalos, right? The David HaMelech composed 15 Shir HaMalos. Some of them are more familiar to us than others, but if you look at Tehillim, there are 15 Shir HaMalos. Some say it also corresponds to the name of Hashem, that's Yud-Hei, the name Ka, Yud-Hei, the name of Hashem, which in the Gematria is 15, and Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth, and he created Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba with this name of Yud-Hei. So when we say Yishtabach, we're corresponding to that name and focusing on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, created this world, and created the next world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that he creates, everything and everything belongs to him. Interestingly, Rav Shimon Schwab, the great Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal, the great Rav of the Breuer's community. So he writes that Tefillah can really be understood as correlating to the Beis Hamikdash. He says that Psuki de Zimra is really like the outer chamber of the Beis Hamikdash. You know, the outer Azara. That's where we prepare ourselves. We first come in, we first enter. Then he writes that Birchos Kriya Shema, the brachos that we recite right before Kriya Shema, that's really the inner chamber. That's where we come a little bit further to the Beis Hamikdash. He writes that Yishtabach is the transition. Yishtabach is the transition where we move from the Psuki de Zimra, which was the introductory part of Tefillah, the preparatory part of Tefillah, where we move to the more essential, more substantial parts of Tefillah, and Yishtabach is that transition. He writes also that in the inner chamber, there were three main kelim, three main vessels in the Beis Hamikdash. There was the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, and the Menorah. So he writes that in Yishtabach, we say the terminology of Kel Melech, three times. If you look at Yishtabach, the terminology of Kel Melech appears three times, and those three times correspond to the three kelim, the three vessels that we have in the inner sanctum of the Beis Hamikdash. So let's run through it. Let's run through it a little bit quickly. Again, I apologize, but we say Yishtabach Shimcha La'ad Malkeinu. Again, we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our King, and this is that. This is that duality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Father and our King as well. HaKel HaMelech HaGadol VeHaKadosh B'Shamayim U'Va'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the great King, the King that exists in heaven and on earth. Ki L'cha Na'e Hashem Elokeinu VeElokei Avoseinu. For you it's fitting the following praises. And then we begin to recite those 15 praises. Some do actually count 13. So I was talking about 15 before and the reason why it's 15. But some actually count 13. It all depends on how you count them. Some of them. The question is, do you count it as two separate praises, or are they really independent praises? So Rav Pinkus explains that if you count them as 13, so we can say that the 13 corresponds, we know, to the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the belief, then what we're trying to convey, is that just like we know the 13 Midos, which we're going to recite during the Yamim Noraim, we recite them during Slichos, and on Yom Kippur we recite them several times, we believe that those 13 Midos can break through any barrier. Then when we say them with Kavanah, we say them with concentration and devotion, they can break through any barrier, and they get right up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we're trying to communicate with, if we count the 13 praises of Hashem, is that proper tefillah can do the same thing. The 13 attributes, the 13 Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, that's like the superpower. But if we daven properly, if we praise Hashem in the proper way, then really any of our tefillos can penetrate right up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's perhaps some of the thinking behind the number 13. Okay, we go on to say the praises again. I mean, I don't want to get into the subtleties of the differences. It's very hard to distinguish all the different words and what they mean. But Shiru Shvacha, Halel V'Zimra, Ozu Memshala, Netzach, Gidula, Ugvura, Tehillah v'Seferes Kedusha u'Malchus. We talk about obviously Hashem's sovereignty and Hashem's holiness and praising Hashem. Hashem is eternal and Hashem's strength. Many, many things, many aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we praise. Brachos v'hodaos me'atavi adulam. Blessings and thanksgiving for all time. We conclude with the bracha of Baruch Ata Hashem Kel Melech Gadol Batishbachos, that Hashem is the great King. Again, there you have the Kel Melech, right? The great King, who's great and exalted through our praises. Kel HaHodaos Adon HaNiflaos. He's the master of wonders. So many wonderful things that he does in our lifetime. HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra. That Hashem chooses the songs of praise, the musical songs of praise. Melech Kel, again, you have that terminology, the Melech Kel, Che Ha'olamim, the life giver of the world. Very interesting that here we again focus on song. Habocher b'shirei zimra. That Hashem chooses this, the musical songs of praise. That's what He chooses. That's what He wants. And the great, perhaps, why is it? Why is it that we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically chooses song? So perhaps because that's the language of the soul. And as important as our intellect is, as important as the shvachos that we spoke about earlier, to praise Hashem intellectually, to recognize all of the greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us in this world, but in the end of the day, the heart is what carries the day. Right? As we all know from our lives, whatever we're feeling, that's really what we're going to do. Right? I remember when I always love to tell dating stories, people like that. So when I remember when I was, I was talking to one of my rebbeim, and I said, how do you know? Like, how do you decide? How do you know, which girl is the right girl? Baruch Hashem, I got the right one. So he said to me, he said, you have to think, you have to use your mind. But in the end of the day, it's your heart. In the end of the day, it's what your heart tells you. Your heart is going to be the organ that tells you, this is the one. We have to think about it. We have to use our minds. We can't suspend our minds. We know, unfortunately, sometimes people don't think enough and they make mistakes. But once you've thought things through, right? And sometimes you think things through again and again and again and again and endlessly, but then it's the heart that carries the day. So the heart that carries the day, that carries the day in our interpersonal relationships and it carries the day in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's perhaps why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bocher B'Shirei Zimra. Very interesting. The Reb Simcha Bunim of Pshischa, one of the great Hasidic masters, so he writes that you can also read these words, Habocher b'shiyare zimra. Shiyare means the remnants or the leftovers. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the leftover songs. What are the leftover songs? So he says that after you close your siddur, those are the tefillos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants. He wants you to daven from your siddur, the words that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah established. But after you close your siddur, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to continue that conversation for the rest of the day. That's HaBocher B'Shiyarei Zimra, that's really what Hashem wants. He wants the words of the siddur, but what He really wants is the songs that you sing to Him when you close your siddur. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thought with which to end Yishtabach. Let's move to Shema for a minute. The Shema is obviously a long tefillah. We're not going to get to the whole thing, but a very important one. We know that Shema is really Mida Oraisa. It's a mitzvah Mida Oraisa. We mentioned that women are exempt from Shema because it is a mitzvah Asei She'azman Grama. It's a positive time-bound commandment. So women are not, technically speaking, obligated to say Shema. However, the poskim say that it's a good thing to do. The women should try to say Shema, at least the beginning. Some women just say the first pasuk and Baruch Shem. Some say the first paragraph. Many women say the whole Shema, which is a beautiful thing. Because Shema is really Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. We're accepting upon ourselves Hashem's kingdom. Accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. So because of that, it's certainly a very, very important tefillah. It's interesting that Shema is, there are some opinions, as we discussed earlier, that say that tefillah in general is d'oraisa. That it's a biblical obligation to daven in general. But no one says that the text that we have of tefillah is d'oraisa. Even if the obligation to daven is mid'oraisa, everyone agrees that the text that we have is rabbinic. The text that we have comes from the rabbis. Shema is the only text that's in the Torah. Right? We have Psukim in Tanakh, but the only text that comes from the Torah, a full text of a prayer, is the tefillah of Shema Yisrael. So that's why not only is the obligation to say Shema Mideoraisa, but the wording, the words are actually Mideoraisa, literally from the Torah as well. Now why is Shema so important? We know Shema is very, very important. We say Shema twice a day, right? We say Shema at Shacharis, we say Shema again in the evening, right? And we're supposed to say Shema also before we go to sleep. We know that a Jew says Shema before he dies, right? The famous, we have famous pictures in our minds and stories of Jews reciting Shema Yisrael as they're about to be killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. Stories from the Holocaust, of Jews. That's the last thing that's on their lips is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. If you think about it, so many Jews know Shema. Even Jews who are unaffiliated. Jews who are not religious, Jews who really have very little connection to Judaism. Shema they know very often, not always, but very often they know at least that pasuk of Shema Yisrael. It's a very important pasuk, and it really is, it's like the backbone of our tradition. Why? Why is it so, what's so important about Shema? There's a famous story also that I'm sure many of you know. It became a popular Jewish song also afterwards. But after the Holocaust, During the Holocaust, many children were put away with non-Jewish families, or in some cases even in convents. They were put into convents, and they had the nuns taking care of them, or different Christian orphanages. And they felt that way, at least the children would be safe, they'll survive. And hopefully after the war, they'll come back to their Jewish roots. Right? We know there are some famous Jews who are not practicing Jews anymore, who went through that type of thing. But the famous story is that after the war, the story is told with Rabbi Eliezer Silver, that after the war, he went to try to rescue some of these Jewish children. And very often what would happen is that the Jews would come to the homes or the convents, and they would say, can we have the children who were kept here throughout the course of the war? And the people would deny it. The priests or the nuns would say, we don't know what you're talking about. There are no Jewish children here. And the story goes that one time Rabbi Eliezer Silver went to went to a certain priest and asked him, for all the Jewish children, and he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. There are no Jewish children here. And it was right before bedtime in this orphanage. And Rabbi Eliezer Silver started saying Shema Yisrael. And he saw all of a sudden, I get choked up every time I say it, but he saw all of a sudden the children started crying. And he saw that, this is the Jewish children. This is the one thing they remember, is Shema Yisrael. They remember their parents singing Shema Yisrael to them before they went to sleep. So we see it's such a fundamental tefillah, such a fundamental part of our faith. Why is it so important? So the Gemara in Pesachim tells us the story of Yaakov Avinu. The Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed and he gathered all of his children. We know he gathered all of his children together to give them a bracha at the end of his life. And Chazal tell us that he wanted to reveal to them the end of days. He wanted to reveal to them, what would happen at the end of days. And all of a sudden he blanked. And he didn't know why. So he felt that the Shekhinah must have left me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have left me at this moment. Why is that? So he thought to himself, maybe one of my sons is not really following the proper path. Maybe one of my sons is a little bit what we call off the derech. After all, my grandfather Avraham, he had a Yishmael. My father Yitzchak, he had an Esav. So my sons, the 12 Shevatim, they all look good on the outside, but who knows? Maybe one of them is not, behind my back, is not really following the right path. And he communicated this to his children. And the Gemara tells us that his children responded to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That was their response. Shema Yisrael, Yaakov, Yisrael, listen to us, our father. Hashem Elokeinu, the Hashem that's your God. The one that you believe in as your God, Hashem Echad. He's the one God in our hearts as well. And the message is so powerful, because if you think about what's transpiring here, Yaakov Avinu is giving a bracha to his children. Yaakov Avinu was the last Av. He was the last of the Avos. He was it. It was Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The era of the Avos is now coming to a close. Yaakov Avinu realizes, I have to make sure that the tradition that I got from my grandfather and from my father is passed on properly to my children. And that's what he was nervous about, because he felt the Shechina left me. It must be there was some kind of a problem with the transmission of the Masorah. I made a mistake. One of my kids is not following the right path. And his son said, Abba, don't worry about it. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The same God that you believe in, the same God with all the same values and all the same ideas and the same fundamentals and the same principles that you taught us, that's Hashem Echad. That's the God that we believe in. It's the same exact God. We might look different, we might be the Shvatim and you're the Av. But the faith, the belief, that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly the same as it was with you and as it was with your father. And that, I think, is the message of Shema Yisrael. It's a message of passing on the tradition, of passing on the Masorah. And I think that's why it really has such a central role in our faith. We say it twice a day. Every Jew knows it. We say it before we die. Because that's what life as a Jew is all about. It's about passing on the Masorah. And things look different. In every generation, things look different. Your parents' generation didn't look like this generation. And let me tell you, your kids' generation certainly is not going to look like this generation. Everything is different. Everything changes. But what remains the same is our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What remains the same is our Masorah. It might look different on the outside. We're wearing different clothes than we wore in Europe and that we wore in Mitzrayim. Everything, the outside looks different. But the inside is the same. That connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same. The commitment to our mitzvos, the commitment to our ideals, to our beliefs, that's exactly the same. It's such a powerful thing. You look out, even as you daven, you come to shul and you look out at davening. You know, davening is it's pretty much exactly the same, the way that your grandparents did it, the way that your grandparents, your great-grandparents did it, literally hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years ago. It's exactly the same. Again, it looks different. This shul, beautiful shul, looks a little bit different than the shuls that we've had in the past. But everything else, the tochen, the substance, is exactly the same. And that's the message of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We say, following Shema Yisrael, we say Baruch Shem. Right, the famous Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolam Voed. Baruch Shem, what does it mean? Baruch Shem Kivod. Again, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso. Blessed is the name of the glorious, the honor of Hashem's kingdom forever. So, what are we saying? We're davening really that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory becomes revealed to the entire world. It's a very holy statement. We're davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'haya Hashem Lemelech. That Hashem shouldn't only be recognized as the king by us, by Jews, but by the entire world. I'm reading a biography now over the summer. I haven't done too much reading over the last week. But I'm reading a biography of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Rabbi Joseph Talushkin's biography. Fascinating biography. Lubavitcher Rebbe was a fascinating man. And, you know, many different opinions out there of how exactly, you know, what he did and what he didn't do. Some people are more in favor, some people less in favor, without getting into all the politics behind it. But he was a great man and he did incredible things for Yiddishkeit, for Judaism in today's world. And one of the things that's so clear from his biography, one of the things that's so clear about what he did, was he cared deeply, V'haya Hashem L'melech. He cared deeply that not only every Jew should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king, but every non-Jew. The world should recognize that there's a master. The world should recognize that there's a creator. Famously, he was opposed in the early 1960s, the Supreme Court came out with a decision to ban prayer in public schools. They used to pray in public schools. And in the 1960s, the Supreme Court banned it, said, you know, it was a violation of church and state, of the separation between church and state. And the Rebbe was so opposed to it, forcefully, verbally opposed to it. And you would think, what does the Lubavitcher Rebbe have to do with, public prayer in public schools? And again, it was a controversial issue, and not everybody agreed with him. But his focus was that there are Jewish children in these schools, and this is their only connection with God. Their only connection with their creator are these words, you know, kind of innocuous words of prayer that they recite at the beginning of every day. But not only that, but the non-Jews as well. The non-Jews as well, this is their only connection with their creator. And you're taking that away from them? You know, so we doubt, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolam Vayed, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glorified name not only to be recognized, obviously, in our hearts and in the hearts of our children and grandchildren, but by all Jews everywhere, and by all people, by the entire world. Why do we say Baruch Shem silently? So there's a Gemara that says that there was really some sort of a tension. Because on the one hand, Yaakov responded to his sons, Baruch Shem. That's how he responded. His son said to him, the Shvatim, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shem Echad, and he responded, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolam Voed. But we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wrote Shema Yisrael in the Torah, he didn't say Baruch Shem. So the Gemara says, what should we do? On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu left it out of the Torah, so maybe we shouldn't say it. On the other hand, Yaakov did say it. So the Gemara says we compromise. We say it, but we say it quietly. Another explanation is given also by the Medrash, that really Moshe knew about this formula of Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolam Voed. Why didn't he say it? Because really this is the prayer of the Malachim. This is really the holy prayer of the Malachim. And that's why Moshe felt it wasn't proper to say it. So that's why when we say it every day, because Yaakov said it, we say it quietly. Because it's not really our prayer. We're borrowing it from the Malachim, so to speak. And that's why we all know that on Yom Kippur, when we say Shema, that's the one day a year when we say Baruch Shem out loud. Because on Yom Kippur, we're all like Malachim. We don't eat, we don't drink. We're totally focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're totally focused on spirituality. So because of that, we recite Baruch Shem out loud to show that this is the prayer of the Malachim. And today, we're on the level of Malachim to recite that prayer. Again, we don't have time to focus on the rest of Shema, but V'ahavta, obviously the paragraph of V'ahavta focuses on our love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we spoke about in the past. The second paragraph of Shema, V'haya im Shamoa, focuses on our commitment to mitzvos. Not just our love of Hashem, but our commitment to mitzvos. And then the third paragraph is where we mention the concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, you know, again, the homework is, unfortunately we don't have time to cover everything, but the homework is to look through Shema, And learn, delve into the depths of the tefillah, and learn all about it. And Mirtz Hashem, next week, in the final week of the shiur, we'll be focusing on Shemona Esrei, again, just giving you a little bit of a taste of Shmona Esrei, and hopefully providing you with the framework for that homework of really getting a better sense of what Shmona Esrei is all about. I apologize. I have